Franciscan Media welcomes you to our Lenten Radio Retreat Series, sponsored by Catholics across the United States through the U.S. Bishop's annual Catholic Communication Campaign Collection. Each week during this holy season of Lent, one of our bishops will be your guide on this unique spiritual retreat. I'm your host, Elia Castillo. On this third week of Lent, we'll hear a reflection on Sunday's readings by Bishop William Michael Mulvey of the Diocese of Corpus Christi, Texas. We'll take some time during our half hour together to meditate on our theme through spiritual music, and we'll sit down with the bishop in a question and answer segment so that he can give us more insight into how we can personally make this the best Lent it can be. Before we begin, I encourage you to prepare your hearts for this retreat, to still your mind, and to allow God's Holy Spirit to enter into your body. Put aside today's cares and worries for the next 30 minutes and simply listen. To begin our retreat, let's begin with the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer. Our journey this third Sunday in Lent speaks to us about repentance. In the parable of the barren fig tree, the Gospel gives us a look at God's patience and God's grace. Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 9, gives us much to consider during this holy time of Lent. Let's open our hearts and listen now to the Most Reverend William Michael Mulvey of the Diocese of Corpus Christi, Texas.
On this third Sunday of Lent, we can again look at the purpose of Lent. Lent, of course, is 40 days, and I would invite us during these 40 days to actually take 40 days of prayer, fasting, almsgiving, and works of charity. But it is a time to reform our lives, to show who we are. It is a time to examine where we are on our pilgrimage of life, our pilgrimage of faith. It is a time to look at, where is my heart? What am I seeking in life? As the early disciples approached Jesus, they asked, Lord, where do you stay? That is a question for us as well. Have we made that journey? Are we on that journey to find Jesus in our lives? It is a time also to understand how much we truly realize and appreciate the depth and the beauty of our Christian life, to understand more deeply our baptismal call, our promises in baptism, and our commitment to follow Christ without reserve. On this third Sunday of Lent, we are given a very fundamental principle of the Christian life. It is like a cornerstone. It is the fact that God has called us and continues to call us into a relationship, a mature, full relationship with Him. It is a relationship by which we live according to and by His Spirit. It is a relationship of communion where we can freely speak to God as Father, and we open ourselves to listen to Him in an obedience of sons and daughters. Too often, our Christian lives are misunderstood, or another way to say it, underdeveloped. We see the Christian life as merely following certain rules, of fulfilling certain principles. But a mature relationship, the mature relationship of a Christian with God, must be understood as life, as a relationship. And so we see in the book of Exodus that God called Moses. He called him to stand on holy ground so that he could speak to him as God. In this, God sought Moses' heart. He asked him to fulfill his will by returning to his people to bring them out of slavery. It was only later that God gave Moses commandments. And when Moses asked the Lord, "Who are you?" he said, "I am who am. I am who am." We could also say that I am with you always. As a few months ago, we celebrated the great feast of Christmas of the Incarnation, the feast of Emmanuel, God with us. So our journey is the journey of Moses in the desert and the journey of people today is with that realization that God calls us and God remains faithful to us. Unfortunately, with time, the relationship with God deteriorates. Sometimes, as we see in the example of the Israelites in the desert, they followed false idols. They created their own idols. They gave in to temptations such as impatience. And this impatience eroded their faith and their reliance upon God and His mercy. They forgot the promise that the Lord had given to them. St. Paul reminds us in the letter to the Corinthians of the example of the Israelites, pleading with the Corinthians and also to us not to give in to the desire for evil things and not to grumble when things do not go our way. He also reminds us not to live a life of false security, as if we can justify ourselves by our religious acts, but to live a mature faith. A faith where conversion is always necessary. We are reminded that our faith, our relationship with God, is a response to God's love and God's mercy. It is God who takes the initiative. It is God who first loved us. It is God who sent His Son to us. Our life as faithful Christians, is a response to that love. And so we could ask ourselves during this Lenten time to see if we are responding with faith to all the situations of our life. We could ask ourselves, to whom do I first go when a problem arises in my life? To whom do I turn when I first experience a difficulty, a moment of suffering, or perhaps even a great tragedy? To whom do I turn first when a temptation arises in my life, when a temptation crosses through my mind, and I am tempted to worship false idols? God loved us first. God has taken the initiative, and God loves us immensely. With faith, we live a life of hope, which is full of optimism. Hope in God's love and God's mercy. We are reminded in the beautiful example of the fig tree today in the parable of St. Luke's Gospel that God's love is patient, that mercy is patient. We can simply remember the story of the prodigal son who returned to a merciful father whose arms were wide open, although the son had turned away from that love. We remember Jesus and his patience with his disciples who could not understand all that he was asking, even when Peter denied him. St. Luke, in his account, says that Jesus turned to him and loved him, calling him back to a deeper response, to a deeper love, to a deeper relationship, a more mature relationship with him. Today, in our psalm response, Psalm 103, we have a beautiful reminder in the response, the Lord is kind and merciful. But even more so in verse 11, where the psalmist says, merciful and gracious is the Lord, slow to anger and abounding in kindness. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so surpassing is his kindness toward those who fear him. Do we embrace that? Do we believe that in our own personal circumstances, in the circumstances of our family, in the circumstances of our parishes, in the circumstance of humanity today? Merciful and gracious is the Lord, slow to anger and abounding in kindness. For as the heavens are far above the earth, so surpassing is his kindness toward those who fear him. The pilgrimage of faith does not allow for a non-response, or even for a half-hearted response, as if that is sufficient, because that will leave us where we are. We are called to always respond, fresh, anew, every day, at the beginning of each day and at the close of each day, so that we do not stay where we are in our self-justification or in our stagnant lifestyle in our relationship with Jesus Christ. We are called instead to a response that will manifest that we belong to him, that we desire God above all things, and that as God is patient with us, so too we must be patient in our loving obedience to our Heavenly Father. Our hearts, our minds are set on the world that will never end. This requires patience. This requires daily conversion. God bless each one of you in this Lenten season as we prepare ourselves to celebrate and to live the great mystery of God's love in the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ.
We'll sit down and talk with Bishop Mulvey in a moment. But first, let's listen to the song, You Know Who I Am, by Matt Maher and Tom Booth.
Lord, hear me, I am open, I surrender all my sin, all my pride, gets me nowhere, leaves me stranded, empty-handed. So shatter the darkness in my life as I carry this cross both day and night. Community, you know who I am.
I asked Bishop Mulvey some questions to help us understand this week's Lenten Gospel more deeply. Bishop, thank you so much for joining us today and for helping make our Lent season so much more meaningful. Bishop, why do we often judge others? How can we be more aware of it when we're doing it? And what should our response be?
I believe we judge others for a couple of reasons. On a psychological level, it could be that a person judges another, or in more modern terms, puts another one down in order to feel more worthy themselves, or perhaps to feel some kind of power over the other person. The smaller the other person is, perhaps the greater I may feel that I am. But there is also another reason, which would be more, I guess, in the spiritual realm, and that is that perhaps we live a certain self-justification, as we heard from the readings today, that puts us on a self-proclaimed higher plane than the other people or other person that is in front of me. And so we can cast judgment on that person. But again, as I said in the homily, that a mature relationship with God and with each other is one that calls us into a relationship, into a rapport. The greatest thing that breaks that relationship with God or with each other is judgment. Because anytime I judge, I distance myself from that person or from that relationship. I break that relationship. judgment is probably one of the cruelest things and one of the most devastating things to the Christian life. When you ask, how can we be aware of it? I think it's just to know ourselves. I think we need to always be reflective on a daily basis throughout the day, but also at the end of the day. This is why we have an examination of conscience. And perhaps one of the questions that could be very clear to us during this Lenten time is, have I judged anyone? Have I judged myself? Have I judged the people around me? And what kind of judgment have I made? So that's a way that we can become more and more aware of the fact that we perhaps do judge. And if we do, first of all, we ask for the grace to stop casting judgment, but also, again, to live each moment aware of who I am and what I say and what my attitude is. Much of it is in overcoming this kind of life of judgment is being self-aware.
God wants to make use of us in His vineyard. How can we be more open to this invitation? How do we go about putting His will into action?
God certainly wants to use each one of us in His vineyard, in life. He has a will for each one of us, and that, again, is something that we should be aware of and perhaps renew that belief during this Lenten time that God does have a will for me, no matter who I am. So often we judge what we do and who we are by the world's standards, by the standards of a society. And yet we have to look upon it the way God sees us and sees it and sees us. Sometimes we may not know overall in the larger scheme of things what God's will is for us or what role I play in building up the kingdom of God on earth. But to be assured that there is a purpose in everyone's life according to God's plan. I think the best way to understand what God's will is for me or what God's plan in time is to live in the present moment. Every present moment lived in God and with God can express to me God's will. For example, a person calls me. Sometimes we resist those calls, we don't want to, but perhaps that's God's will in that moment. And so to live in the present moment, desiring to do God's will, that phone call can be the will of God. And who knows how that plays a role in God's plan. And so taking each action, taking each circumstance as a part of that divine plan, that divine adventure with God can certainly help us to, with time, moment after moment after moment, day after day, begin to unfold in front of us the adventure that God has for us and His plan.
Bishop, where do you feel the presence of God most in your life?
This is a very profound question, and a question, I guess, that really makes me reach deep into my life, to my experience also of trying to live the Christian life. I would say in three special places that I experience God's presence most in life. And if I can now stretch that to four. The first would be, of course, in the Word of God. I know many, many times throughout my life, my priesthood in a very special way, and as a bishop now, reading certain passages in a quiet environment where the Scripture is so real and touches so deeply into my own soul and to the core of my being that I know it is not just a word of a human person, but that it is a presence of God. And the great fathers of the church spoke often of the Word of God as a presence of God. And I think because of the vitality that sometimes the Word brings to me, that I certainly can experience it there. Secondly, in the celebration of the Eucharist and being in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament is certainly a great reality, and it's as if, you know, time stops, and as the Mass has to continue with a certain dignity, still there is that realization that God is present there, that Christ is present in His body and in His blood. The third is prayer. None of us can really hear the voice of God or and in that voice acknowledge the presence of God unless we're quiet. And I know that Pope Benedict often in the last year, especially as the year of faith has begun, has really called us to be attentive to the gift of silence, to the gift of being quiet in life. And sometimes, especially after a very hectic day or at the beginning of a hectic day, which I know is ahead of me, just to have that time of quiet is a time to really be in communion with God and to know that God is present even in the midst of all the difficulties that may be ahead. And finally, I have to acknowledge that when there is mutual love, that when I am giving my life to someone and that person is doing the same, it's a very simple Trinitarian experience where I am there for that person and that person is there for me. Jesus promised, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. And often I have experienced that. But that to me is when time stands still and I know that God is truly present, that Christ is truly present among us or in a gathering where that is the purpose of the gathering. So those are the four ways that I would say I feel the presence of God most.
Bishop, thank you so much for joining us today. We invite you to listen again to Franciscan Media's Lenten Radio Retreat next week, when our guest homilist will be the Most Reverend John Noonan of the Diocese of Orlando, Florida. If you missed any part of our show or would like to listen again, visit our website, productions.franciscanmedia.org. We conclude our time today with a special blessing from Bishop Mulvey.
Let us pray. Loving Father, we come to you with contrite hearts. We ask you to open our hearts and to renew our love for you. Help us to change in our lives what we can, so that others can see you clearly present in our lives. As we encounter your suffering in our own life, help us to encounter the joy of your resurrection. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
This Lenten Radio Retreat is brought to you from the studios at Franciscan Media in Cincinnati, Ohio, and through the work of producer Judy Zarek, engineer Ron Riegler, and executive producer Matt Wielgoss.